All right, we're about to go around the NFL where I'm going to give you a little bit of a conversation piece from the single greatest wide receiver of all time. But before we get there, we were talking about in the question of the day what your I remember where I was moment from your childhood as mm-hmm. Lopez had one of those, you know, one of those nostalgia hits.
Yeah, man.
Seeing a Henry Aaron celebration at
the All-Star
game.
Got a little misty in there last night.
Which, look, if there's one thing that even the most repressed men will allow themselves to get a little misty about,
yeah.
is the greatest sports people that they've ever seen. And Henry Aaron
especially
absolutely
as
falls
a kid.
Into that. Yeah. If you were trading this card and stuff like that. In fact, I bet this person from the 832 had some of that feel because they said they could still name the Tigers starting lineup from 68 and pitch a staff. I bet you had all the cards.
Dang.
I bet you had. You was just laying on your tummy on the floor.
Yeah.
Just that looking at your collection.
That is a talent right there. The name, the baseball squad.
I can do the A's from when I was a kid.
The Vita Blue and A's that
pitch a staff and all that.
Raleigh Fingers, Vita Blue, Catfish Hunter.
There's a great names in there.
Infield was Sal Bando catching, Bert Campanaris, shortstop. Let's see. I can do it. I'd have to think, but I can do it. But I do want to clean one thing up because you asked me what, Figgy?
I asked you, where do you remember the time when John Lennon died? Where were you?
And I remember it, and I confused it with another big time when I was at A&M. I said I was walking across campus and heard this murmur, people talking and stuff. That was actually when Ronald Reagan got shot. When Ronald Reagan got shot, I was going to class, and we turned on the TVs in the journalism room building. John Lennon, I also remember where I was, and I had thought about it during the break. I was in my first semester at A&M.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a place to stay because I came from Blinn because I was trying to play football. Whatever. I rented a room. A bedroom in a person's house because I was so late to the game.
Yeah.
And I was in that room watching Monday Night Football.
There you go.
Watching Monday Night Football. Howard Cosell told me about John Lennon.
Dude, and that reminds me of someone else texting in and said that they bleep us not. They were listening to Sports Radio 610 in the morning on September 11th, 2001. Yeah. And I was like, that got me thinking. I imagine it just works significantly, or maybe it doesn't work differently if you are, and this is self-centered. Obviously, I work in broadcasting, and I have to think about what happens if something of that magnitude happens while you're on air. How do you handle it? You know, ESPN actually decided that, especially this thing that's outside of sports, does this feel like it rises to the level of the greater good to acknowledge this and let people know and kind of break the you know, kind of bubble of you're enjoying the sports, which Figgy, you were talking about with the Lennon announcement on Monday Night Football. Like, how does that happen? And then compare that to 9/11. You're just something of that magnitude. You got to tell people on the airwaves.
I think something that was kind of similar, like a crazy event that happened, was COVID. And I remember I was on the air when they started.
I was on the air for that too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They started shutting everything down. They shut down the rodeo. And we was on the air. I think Lopez was on vacation, but we were on the air with Smitty and Trap.
Oh, wow.
When all of this stuff was happening. And so we just started naming all the stuff just all the breaking news that was happening with COVID.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. So that was a little bit of a crazy way to kind of, I guess, transition from sports into. Now the NBA is canceled and this is canceled. It was crazy.
Well, I was calling Rudy Gobert all sorts of names. Why are you out here touching all these things? Why are you not being serious? You see what you did? And then just to be fair, there's a number of people also still coming in with like the sports memories that they had. Like somebody mentioning Ralph Sampson shot to beat the Lakers in 86. Said dad was watching their mobile home. And is that Lissy? Said Sampson made the shot, stood up, and the Rockets won. So shout out to you.
That's a good one because he said he's running through the hallway and waking up his mom and all that.
Yeah. I missed it the way that the text broke up. Ran down the hallway, back in the living room, waking people up.
Samson made the shot.
That's awesome. Yeah, man. Keep sending those in, man. That's a shot of dopamine as we go around the NFL. And I will jump. Actually, no, I shouldn't jump immediately into the place that I want to go and start nonsense. I did want to say that we will have a season with no franchise tags, ladies and gentlemen. Yesterday. The last franchise tag holdout, Trey Smith, who is a lineman for the Kansas City Chiefs, avoids the tag and agrees to a 4-year, $94 million extension with the Kansas City Chiefs. So he's now highest player at that position, and he joins three of his teammates to be the highest players at their positions on the Kansas City Chiefs.
And this is encouraging to me. And you guys are probably tired of me saying this all the time over the years, but the cap and manipulating the cap and maneuvering your way through the cap has never really been that intimidating or scary to me, because, as I often say, there are people in that building whose entire job is to work the cap and find ways of doing it. The Chiefs, Super Bowl contender every year, have four of the highest paid players at their position. You can do this. You can be great and have players happy and pay them.
I do think, and you're not wrong in that regard, but it's very particular. It is worth noting, though, when you talk about the Chiefs and the way that they've been able to continue to do this. There have been points where they have had an awful offensive line and an awful wide receiver.
Oh, no, you have to make some decisions.
Right.
But you can do this. If my bigger point is, you want to pay Will Anderson, CJ Stroud, Derek Stingley, and who's another? Nico? You can do it. You can do it.
Yeah, you can do it, but some other place is going to take a hit.
Sure.
Which, I mean,
and that's how you get there.
And it's more about the decision.
Yeah, it's how
like,
you get there.
Like, do you feel like we can get away with a bad, average, below average offensive line?
Right.
Let's do that to keep these other players.
And it's a salary cap sport as well.
What are you saying, Figgy?
That's how this sport works. It did make me think, though, one of the things I also thought is, how long until the Texans have one of those deals that they have to make on the offensive line?
Yeah. I mean,
because I don't see the guy that you go, hey, this guy is set up to be that guy.
I mean, your hope is Ursary.
Yeah, that is the next best chance, and I no idea as of yet.
Yeah.
Which that is the thing that I go, okay, the one thing that I would love to be is the team that just got the offensive line that goes crazy.
Sure.
Because that's one of those things that no matter if it's, you know, what else is happening, if you got a really good offensive line, you have an opportunity to be really good at football. So that happened. Some other things that are happening around the NFL. I saw this because, you know, we've been watching ESPN put out their top 10 lists with other considerations. And this came courtesy of a dude that I like to annoy people with at times by calling him the single greatest wide receiver of all time. And it's not Jerry Rice. It is Randy Moss.
Yeah, you're annoying.
West Virginia Zone. And ran West Virginia Zone. And the reason why I got a chance to kind of chuckle at this is that he was talking to the South Florida Sun Sentinel. And he was talking about how he is absolutely one of the best. In fact, speaking to the media at an event for his restaurant that is now paired with the Dolphins for concession stands at Hard Rock Stadium, he said that the political answer for the best receiver of all time is Jerry Rice. And I imagine you know where this goes. Mm-hmm. However, quote, if we are talking real football where I knock your ass out, it's me. Close quote from Randy Moss. Thoughts?
Jerry Rice would knock your ass out. of all places to go, Jerry Rice was one of the most physical wide receivers in history.
Yeah.
And so, like, you can say, hey, I was faster. Nobody's going to argue.
Correct.
You know, you can say, hey, I was better on the long ball. A little bit of an argument because Jerry Rice could break.
He was good, but
I think Randy Moss
that one, man.
But greatest wide receiver of all time is Jerry Rice. And don't go there. Jerry Rice was knocking fools down. And his power and his hand. Remember the whole story about he used to catch bricks from his father?
That is correct.
And all that stuff. He was.
Shout out to Mississippi Valley State's own.
He was strong.
Jerry Rice. And man, it's also a time period where don't go over the middle, dog, unless you want to try and put your head back on with screws.
Yeah.
So, man, I thought that was a very funny point to make that I never imagined Randy Moss himself would have made, except he believes in himself more than anybody else does. And why wouldn't you if you were Randy Moss?
Of course. I don't blame him.
Randy Moss is the dude. We're a half a step off the line. He's like, hand in the air, I'm open. Don't even worry about it.
Yeah.
Chuck it up there, dog.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to the assertions of Randy Moss, is that the more bewildering one or is this? Randy Moss, when asked about Tyreek Hill, obviously, who is currently a Miami Dolphin, he said, quote, he's nowhere all time. Where is he at in today's game? Tyreek Hill is probably top five. I put him top five. But also then, that's close quote, but I'm saying it's worth noting. He is saying that when it comes to all-time wide receivers, Tyreek Hill is nowhere. Like, let's not have that conversation whatsoever. Do you agree with him there?
I don't mind it. I don't know how much I agree with him there. And, you know, Tyreek Hill is explosiveness. We all know the story. But all-time?
Yeah, I'm kind of there, too.
I wouldn't put him all-time.
I would look at Tyreek Hill as kind of like a hood legend. Somebody
that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, somebody you talk about in the barbershop, he was cold.
Yeah, at his best, you know, one of those conversations.
Because if he was to retire right now, where do you put him?
Mm. Ooh, that is really tough.
20? Top 20?
Maybe. I think maybe.
Yeah, that's maybe. That's a big maybe.
That might be a reach.
And what's tough is like that's an 8-time Pro Bowler, 5-time All Pro, Super Bowl champ, and all decades team guy. Yeah. Like he's absolutely kind of Hall of Fame type guy.
But not higher than 20, right? 2018, 19, or 25?
I'm going to have to actually
we're going to have to look up a list.
We're going to have to actually start putting this down. Like he's not top 5.
No, God.
Like not even close. No, and I think that's but I don't know I wish that somebody would have followed up like, "Hey, Randy,
give me your list.
I don't even need you to go through the entire list. Give me a ballpark.
Yeah.
Like what you're thinking. Because when he says not nowhere, does nowhere mean, nah, he ain't no top 5. He ain't no top 10.
Yeah.
Top 25?
Yeah.
Top 50? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, what are we starting to talk about at that point is the question that I then have. But I just found it interesting because at this point in time in the season, what do I need more than just news? Something that gets the people going. And Randy Moss is like, don't worry, fellas. I got you.
I
got you on this particular day. So shout out to them there. Also, shout out to the city of Cleveland who refuses to let good things happen. Figgy, I brought this to you particularly because I know that you have been invested in this Cleveland stadium. And I think you as well, New Huntington Bank, Lopez, because it's just an interesting thing that I think gets our attention because we are in that space where we're antennas up for the possibility of new stadium.
Yeah.
In the even if that is relatively slim, whatever that, I don't know, even know what the percentages are that we feel at this point on renovation of NRG versus the possibility of new stadium. But Cleveland was hoping to use that Art Modell law of, you know, moving away from Cleveland in order to keep the Browns from going to Brook Park, the neighboring suburb. That was not necessarily working in the way that was happening because Ohio was like, yeah, we could just change that law, dog. So right now, Cleveland is petitioning a judge in order to do this. They went the American way. Mm-hmm. Litigation, baby.
Yeah.
We will take this to the courts to stop y'all from going.
Yeah, I mean, sure, why not? Right.
Yeah. Yeah. They was. I feel like they was using the Modell law kind of wrong too, man. Because that was trying to stop a team from leaving the actual
the city. The area. The
state, going to another state.
Mm-hmm.
Not Brook Park is like 2 minutes away from Cleveland, man. You fly into Brook Park.
Yeah.
When you go to Cleveland, so that's I don't understand why they was trying to do that.
That's more we want ours.
That's called
city.
That's called a Hail Mary.
Yep. That's exactly right.
Some other things that are happening. Oh, I really should have mentioned this as well. I didn't even mention the Randy Moss quote about Justin Jefferson. So I apologize that quote. I think Justin Jefferson is on pace to be arguably the greatest ever and definitely the greatest Viking to ever do it, which is high praise for Justin Jefferson.
I can see that.
As Randy Moss is like, Jerry Rice, what about me?
I got an idea. This guy.
But also simultaneously, Terry McLaurin is really frustrated still in Washington that like the rate of not even just getting the deal done, but just the rate of or the lack thereof of conversation up there. How are you feeling about the possibility of Terry McLaurin maybe not remaining with the Commanders for very much longer?
As in coming here?
No, I don't think that's.
Think he's trying to come here?
No, that's not within the realm of possibilities, right? Like that's. Right?
No, it's not.
Okay,
no,
I just want to make sure. But it does feel like that's why Washington Commanders are a team that people are looking at very interested in what they're doing. But this doesn't feel like the way to try and start on the upturn of what has been obviously ascendant. Jayden Daniels and a team in general that is stepping out of the mire of the era of Dan Snyder. And now one of the biggest faces that you've had for your fan base is now frustrated with a lack of progress to a contract extension that I imagine should be relatively easy to do because he's a very, very good
player. Yeah, I think this is more good old-fashioned posturing on both sides. I can't imagine that it won't get done.
Okay.
Yeah.
That simple as that. You're like, this is much ado about
think
nothing.
About what they've been doing this offseason.
Yeah. I mean,
they've been investing everything they can
just,
in that
they
team.
Just came from the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, that's correct. And they're adding pieces and they're spending money.
Yeah, at this point, you're trying to get to a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fair enough.
And the division they're in.
All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right. That's Around the NFL here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610 from the 832. Jerry Rice is the all caps, greatest receiver ever. I think most everyone would agree with that. And then who would you rather have, Tyreek Hill or Steve Largent?
Steve Largent.
Okay, very good. Yeah. Steve Largent, I'm going to be very vulnerable here right now, is Steve Largent is a dude that I know in theory is just, that's a dude that is unassailable. Mm-hmm. I don't actually know it in practice, and I feel bad about that.
Right.
Understandable. Yeah. Shout out to Seahawks legend Steve Largent. All right, you're in the Loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, yesterday we were starting into the space and we kind of got hemmed in on like just the pitching when it comes to the Astros. But now the All-Star game is done, we're kind of barreling towards what the second half of the season is going to look like. What do the Astros need to have happen? What do they need to do in order to make sure that they're able to contend in the way that they want to in the second half? Let's talk about it next. All right, we'll get back into the Astros here in a moment, but y'all are really jumping in on this wide receivers because you know what?
I kind of hate this conversation.
You know what gets the people going?
Yeah.
Lists get the people going. That's the reason why, especially the summer in general.
Mm-hmm.
You start seeing lists. You get, Rolling Stone will drop a list.
Yeah.
Greatest guitarist of all time, and here we are.
Or greatest top 50 rappers.
Yeah. Buddy. All this, we just
top 50 R&B artists.
Royal Rumble of arguments is what we're doing here. And it's fun. I got to admit, the reason why we do it.
Of course, it's fun. Yeah.
There's two people that jump in on the list conversation. Two types of people. There's the person who's just earnestly like, I am mad about this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to cast judgment, so I won't say the next part. But the second part, and I think I fall into this part, although I'll fall into the first. Is the person who recognized that what we're doing here is not actually does not actually matter. It probably does not actually engage in really logic in a larger space, but it's just fun, and maybe we could just occupy a little bit of time and have fun with it.
Yeah.
And then I jump in. I still jump in because, of course, you cannot deny it. And now, because that's what's happened on the text line for the 713, Megatron should be number one wide receiver early. Dude retired early, and his numbers are insane.
Well, retiring early kind of
take a hit.
Yeah, that kind of makes his case. He's up there for sure.
Now, if you start going, top 10, without question.
I'd put him top 10.
I think there are people that put him top 5 very much. Somebody said Tyreek over Andre. I don't think so.
See, that's where I kind of like, man, I need to exit this conversation. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do all of that type of stuff.
Somebody said Tyreek over Fitz, absolutely the bleep not, because I got Fitz as my third best wide receiver.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You had a good question. Who's third? We know Rice is one and Moss is two. And he asked me in the break, who's third? And I was like really trying to not just say the first thing, name that popped into mind, but really trying to think about it. I think it's between three guys as the third greatest of all time. Larry Fitzgerald is definitely in the conversation.
More tackles than dropped passes is obviously the stat that everybody loves throwing out there.
He's remarkable. Also in the hunt for number three over, I would put Michael Irvin.
Yeah,
I would put Michael Irvin there.
100%.
Yeah. Number three?
Yeah, in the argument. There's three guys I would argue could be number three. And the third one, well before your time, but this dude was amazing and had the numbers to back it up and the longevity, et cetera. And that's Lance Allworth. Lance Allworth was just stupid good. And just trust me on that one if you haven't done a deep dive on Lance Allworth.
The very fun part of the Michael Irvin for me is, and of course it's one of the things that I can pride myself on being a relatively young dude. And I'm like, no, but I understand this. I do understand this, is that we're losing as time goes. One of the effects of Michael Irvin, which is Michael Irvin went over the middle. And depending on your age, what would you say the age dynamic is? Right my age, probably like 32, 33.
Yeah.
You may or may not understand the impact of that. And thankfully, I listen to people that, much older than me that have given me game on this, which is, going over the middle meant something, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is not the freedom of movement NFL that we have existed in that is, really prioritized passing. Now, they used to have dudes like John Lynch out there that he made his bones off of trying to knock your head off of your shoulders. And Michael Irvin was like, I'll go do that. Mm-hmm. I'll go deep. I'll go short. Give me the football. I'll make it happen.
No, he was ridiculous. Yeah. And I wish you could find wins above average or whatever the stat might be appropriate for Lance Allworth. Because you talk about guys that could catch stuff that this was uncatchable. And just the numbers and everything. He was way up there. But it's either him or Fitzgerald
I'm surprised you didn't say T.O.
That was one of those ones, and the text line already getting to that place where they're going, how are y'all forgetting about TL? No, I mean,
that was actually the first person I thought about as like number three.
Number three, 100% gets a lot of love in that regard. I always really loved Terrell Owens. The tough part about Terrell Owens is that then you start getting to how much are you affected by your personality?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and this is an entirely different segue at this point, but we're in it. Last week, while obviously I was not here, still being the sports dork that I am, something brought me to one of my favorite pastimes. It happens at least once a year. Sometimes it's like twice a year where I just go, that is a stat about why Barry Bonds is really cool. And I go and I just look back because I think people were asking I can't remember exactly what got me there. I'll have to check my text because I threw it in my group chat with my fellas, but it got me thinking, Barry Bonds was a Hall of Famer. Like, not even, okay, it was like, yeah, Barry Bonds was a Hall of Famer before we yes. even he even did, you know, yes. the steroids. But people were like, first ballot, like, maybe. I was like, no. He was a bona fide, like,
no, he was a Hall of
walk-in Famer. Hall of Famer before that time. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that got me going into that space of looking at it. And that reminds me, every time I go and look at just the absurd stats that he had, like, literally 100 war.
Yeah.
Wins above replacement before he got to, what was it, about 97, 98?
I think you say the same thing about Roger Clemens.
Probably. I think you could probably say the same thing.
Yeah.
The long, drawn-out way of getting back to this is I always think, though, when I do that, and damn, they won't let him in because he was a jerk.
Yeah. Well, he was a jerk.
He was a jerk.
He was a jerk.
And so, like, I do wonder, does T.O. get a little bit of a knock because... A
little bit. I think that's fair. Yeah, I absolutely think that's fair.
Chris Carter getting some love. Chris Carter, number three all time. We might be doing a lot. And I say that with a lot of love and respect for Chris Carter.
Yeah, not over T.O.
Yeah, no, not over T.O. And by the way, his name does not have an H.
That is true. It is C-R-I-S. But I mean,
we got Chris Carters all of them with H's.
That might just be autocorrects. That happens sometimes. From the 832, my dad says the third best wide receiver of all time is Don Hutson. And I ask you, is your dad Gil Brandt? Because one of the things in the break, we were talking about it because we were like, let's look at what some of the other wisdoms might say are happening with this list. As, of course, all this comes about because Randy Moss is talking about Tyreek Hill. Not he's nowhere when we start talking about these
Don
lists.
Hutson was an old timer for me.
And that's the thing that I love someone like a Gil Brandt, but Gil Brandt does that thing where he's like, Bullet Bob Hayes has to be
Don Hutson.
Like, let me bring you this dude from forever ago
who has
to be considered at the very top of this. But I got nothing for you. Yeah. That's ultimately what I have to say. I have nothing for you in that. I cannot knock that down for you. However, I do think my genuine response is word. Like, I'm not saying that person was not cold as hell at that time period. I think there has to be, and do you think I'm right in this? I will ask. 713-572-4610. The top of any of a, top whatever list in a sport is going to lean heavily modern because the sport builds upon the foundations of the forefathers.
Yeah.
And so at some point, even if you were really cold back in the day, people younger than you are going to surpass you, even just off of the strength of the tiebreaker is they're standing on the shoulders of you, the Giants.
I think it depends on the sport and the position. Because I think you can argue players like the one that I've been mentioning, Lance Allworth, in that era to do what he did should elevate him even more. All these records that Mike Evans is breaking, consecutive 1,000-yard seasons, they're breaking his records.
Yeah.
And that's from the 70s, dude. I mean, so I think it can almost elevate you in some positions,
Yeah, I think I would need, and now I feel like this is the old man tax, and I say this, yes, as the younger guy on the show, I apologize to all my, and I say this lovingly, old heads, OGs that are listening, but I feel like, hey, man, you got to just have absolutely dominated the game back in the day for me to give you
that's my point.
Right?
Yeah. Like, to be able to do that in the 70s, and now they're talking about you because Mike Evans is breaking your record for 1,000.
You got to be on some Lawrence Taylor type stuff,
yes,
man.
Yes.
All right, so, like, Andre Johnson is an interesting one because, obviously, he's ours. Gil Brandt had him 16th at the last time that he did this iteration he did. I've seen some that have him, like, kind of in that top 10, right in that barrier range. And this text comes in from the 281. Andre Johnson had a perennial Pro Bowl quarterback with him, he would definitely be top three. How do you make that shake when you look at, and maybe this is an unfair barometer to use, when you look at, like, a Larry Fitzgerald who never had a quarterback worth really throwing or writing home, and I'm very easily putting him top three as the third.
Yeah.
Or someone like Calvin Johnson who, again, never really had a quarterback that was capable of giving him what he was due, who was also probably a guy that we talked about easily top 10.
It's along the same lines of what I said about, to be able to do that in the 70s and you get extra points. I think you get extra points if you're Andre Johnson or Calvin Johnson Larry Fitzgerald. No, I think you get extra points that way.
Okay, so now we're getting to the take zone, which I do love about these spaces as well. From the 713, call it bias. I got Nuke over Tyreek all time.
Come on now.
Okay, I was just want to make sure.
I don't know about that.
So now they're going the other way where they go, Tyreek had Mahomes, so that's not what DeAndre Hopkins had. Like, we can't go the other way, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we can't go start knocking guys for the quarterbacks that they had, right?
Yeah, no, you can you cannot, absolutely.
All right, y'all gonna make me be mean from another 713. Calvin Johnson had Matt Stafford. The thing about Matt Stafford to me is Matt Stafford in his tenure as a Detroit Lion was, and maybe you could say this is an unfair way of looking at this, I think Matt Stafford as a Detroit Lion is a disappointment as a number one overall pick. Does that matter a ton? I don't know. But I think that, like, what he gives you, like, he gives you a lot of empty calories because there's obviously he was the, hey, look at all these stats guy. But as a quarterback and a number one overall pick, which is a thing that we don't talk about enough in his tenure as a Detroit Lion, he does not, I mean, we continue to talk about Calvin Johnson is not getting that that level of service, even as for a good amount of time Matt Stafford is there. Then Matt Stafford goes to the Rams, wins him a Super Bowl. Now everybody's putting him in this whole thing.
See, I don't agree with that because if he was number two, I think it would be a different story. If he was the number two, I think the number, I mean, he's suffering from being number one overall. But if he was number two overall.
Well, that's my thing, is that he's not suffering. Like, maybe in my personal
mind. In your view.
But you felt like he was suffering as far as, like, him being in Detroit.
No, but what I'm saying, you're qualifying as a number one overall pick. He should have done more. I don't disagree. But if he were number two, we wouldn't be having this conversation. The number one overall is just it's an albatross, you know?
And also, and this is more how I am inclined to look at it from the 832, Megatron had Matt Stafford putting up silly stats in a way that made me. And again, now I'm doing a thing where I'm knocking down Matt Stafford. I'm not trying to make him a bad quarterback by any means. Now I'm just arguing against other people's perceptions, which is probably not the thing I should be doing. And so allow me to wrap up this segment by saying I appreciate you allowing us to fall into a top 10 list conversation.
We sitting at a bar at this point.
And this I figured it out, fellas. Let me walk this back. This is how I close the segment. From the 713, how are y'all leaving out Kevin Walter? Hell of a blocker.
He
block
his ass off.
I love you, DJ.
Maybe could he block?
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including, are you ready to purchase this thing that CJ Stroud is selling you? We'll do that next. All right, let's get into what's popping here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. I will not continue talking about the top wide receivers of all time in the NFL just because Randy Moss decided he wanted to shake the table. I will not keep doing this. Mm-hmm. You cannot lock me in this. Although someone did text in and say, look at Lance Allworth's stats from 65. 65 catches, 1,600 yards. 23 yards a catch in a 14-game season.
That is crazy.
Those numbers are insane.
He was stupid.
And we didn't even mention prime Antonio Brown, who was a menace in his own right as well. I get it. And then, of course, the people coming to Matt Stafford's defense, which do what you got to do. 7 seasons of 4,000 yards with the Lions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Show me what it came of that. But we continue.
Totally disagree. But we're not doing it.
We won't. Yeah. We won't be trapped in this loop. We will break free. I want to break free.
Yeah.
All right, and we will do so by talking about what's popping, including, let's start here. I think we were talking, let's start with SEC Media Days. It's something that's been happening out there, and you were very enamored with this particular thing.
A lot of people were.
A lot of people were, but I always like to remind you of your Aggiedom.
Yeah.
And I want to give you this because I did hit you with a Texas thing blindly, so I want to give you the opportunity to strike back. As Steve Sarkisian was announced at SEC Media Days and taking the podium.
Well, let's hear it.
And they played a very particular song that is for a Texas school.
Yeah.
He was the 2020 Broyles Award winner for assistant coach as offensive coordinator at Alabama. He's married to the former L'Oreal Smith. Steve has two daughters, Ashley and Taylor, a son, Brady, and he and L'Oreal welcomed April of 2025, the head coach at the University of Texas, Steve Sarkisian.
Hotta, baby. We always knew, Steve.
So in your mind, Steve Sarkisian went to the music guy like,
Hey, listen.
You want to ruin my job for me? That, if you're not familiar, what is that song?
That would be the Aggie War Hymn, baby. And
the Aggie Fight song?
Same thing, but we call it the War Hymn.
So that's not the choo-choo song, as I officially call it?
No. That is something that just warms the heart, everyone's heart, really, including Steve Sarkisian's.
I don't know. I don't know if that works in that same way.
Did you catch something that I think might even have bothered Steve Sarkisian more?
What, that he said that they said that he was married to L'Oreal, formerly Smith? What is there? Well, I'm saying that like I know, but like
didn't they file for divorce?
They did, but they got back together.
Okay,
because I remember during the season she was back on them sidelines.
Yes. Yeah.
By the way, looking fly. Yeah. Shout out to Sark. Shout out to L'Oreal. Mm-hmm. But I was like, did they make the paperwork official? I don't even remember happens.
Yeah.
But shout out to that man in that
Maybe
regard.
They not together, yeah. but they're together.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, we'll
I'm
see.
Trying to be a good human being and not say
he probably got his own.
Mind
he probably got his own room.
But yeah. no, that was. Yeah, I was like, that is interesting.
Yeah.
And he said they were married, and yeah. I don't know.
He probably
again.
Stay in the condo. He got all that money. He could stay in the condo.
By the way, they're going on today still the SEC meetings.
Right.
I think the Aggie's going to take the stage today. In fact, Greg Sankey opened the day by apologizing. Don't worry about it, man. It was just all in fun. Everybody had fun with
what
it.
What do you mean, don't worry about it?
He apologized. Oh, I'm sorry we played the Aggie Warhammer instead of the, I don't know what he said, but.
You're not worried about it.
Yeah.
You know Texas fans.
I would have laughed.
Nah, man.
You would have laughed.
Yeah, I would have laughed.
You like laughing. That's
I
cool.
Like laugh,
I feel
right?
like y'all be taking a lot of this type of stuff, this beef serious.
Figgy, I do, but you also know me. I don't.
I would. Yeah, no,
I do and I don't. I would it depends on the circumstance.
I would take you out of it.
Yeah.
But it's some other people
oh,
that
yeah.
would take it so to heart.
What's up, Tyler?
Guys, I'm not even doing like this is mm-hmm. the rivalry thing. I'm just saying, and I think Texas fans, let's level with me here.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all know y'all. Y'all be getting upside down. Y'all be getting mad about the upside down horns.
Yes.
Y'all well, be, that is true.
Y'all be trying to take yeah. it to the courts and justices and the judges behind. Y'all be going
no,
to.
No, that is true.
Didn't yeah. they take it to Brett Yormark? Hey, man, yeah. they being mean to us.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. and again, I grew up, spent a good amount of time in Austin.
But that was
have a
silly.
Lot of fondness to.
Yeah.
But yeah, y'all be doing this sometimes. So I can very yeah. much see that there's probably a portion a Texas fan base that was like, oh, hell no. And so, yeah, no, Greg Sankey, go ahead and cover your bases. You do not want
them. I guess he had to.
On your case yeah. and on your keister about the idea that y'all played the wrong song. AV Man clicked the wrong track.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a funny thing that happened in Media Days. We'll talk about some of the other things that have been happening at Media Days as well as the show goes along. Something that is interesting, that is related and pertinent to Texas A&M,
mm-hmm.
but also pertinent to the NFL. We have been enamored with what the Cincinnati Bengals have been not doing, which is not getting some guys signed.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes, obviously, Trey Hendrickson. They're, you know, one of the best in the league, one of the best in the world pass rushers that they are not paying as such in the time period, which, of course, they need to figure that out here soon. But yeah. more importantly, Shamar Stewart, who was their first round pick, a guy who looks the part. He looks the part all-star. His production at A&M. In his entirety of his college career, honestly, did not match that particular looks the part. And they decided to draft him in the first round regardless. All right, cool.
Mm-hmm.
That is your prerogative as an NFL team. They have not been able to get him signed behind some, at least from the reporting, some language that they have wanted in the deal that obviously Shamar does not want and feels like should not be there. I am inclined in hearing some of the details of the reporting to line with Shamar, but that's neither here nor there. What is here, though, is that Shamar seems to be fully in for the long haul on this fight, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm, he does, and I feel like this could be a groundbreaking type moment, and I'm not trying to be dramatic here. I'm really not. I feel like this could be a groundbreaking type moment in college football, in the NFL, et cetera. I was reading a very interesting story, and it was on CBS Sports. I don't have it in front of me, but the gist of it was, this is real, man. Like the Shamar Stewart has been working out every day with the Aggies this summer. Now, it's unofficial until they officially report, but they're having big time team workouts. He's been working out with the team. There is some vague, I guess, varying interpretations of what exactly can happen from here.
So the NFL side of it is pretty clear. He could just if the deal doesn't get done, he could become draft eligible.
In 26,
except not for the Bengals. Like, the Bengals just would not be able to select him, which I imagine they wouldn't make that mistake twice, would they, if it was available
well,
to.
Well, it is the Bengals.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
Yeah.
But the college football portion of this is tough because, again, college football, even as we are modernizing and fully responding to the idea that, yes, indeed, this is pro sports, they still consider it's still considered amateurism in the way that they operate. And he declared he was drafted into the NFL. Can you come back from that and, like, again, jump into this amateurism?
And that's where a lot of people are sort of speculating this would be an easy court case if he wants to go to court. And it might not take long to get it done where he would be playing for the Aggies again. Because keep in mind, he's the reason he doesn't need the money and he can go back to college is because he made more than $1 million last year in NIL. I would expect that to be even more if he decides to go back. And when you go,
although I don't know how that's working, because we've had a lot of NIL deals struck down through like the clearinghouse that was established.
Yes, but you can now also pay players too.
Yeah, but that you could pay players, but it's also worth noting that they have a payroll basically. The revenue share is up to like $20.5 million.
Everything I read,
I do
about
wonder
this,
if he gets a mil. The question I have is just, I wonder if he gets a mil. You know,
everything I read about this is that's not something that would be an issue, the paying. And but
okay.
the bigger thing would be, okay, you're saying he can't really come back to A&M and play, and yet you're calling yourself a professional league. And a lot of people are believing this would be an easy thing to do. And I have not been, from before the draft, the biggest Shamar Stewart fan. You
Correct.
Guys know that.
No, I can attest to that.
You guys know. I'm not saying that in order like, hey, come back to the Aggies and win some games for us. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, in a bigger picture, In the context of groundbreaking for college football,
you making him Ed O'Bannon?
Shamar,
Kurt Flood, Stewart.
Again, I'm not trying to be dramatic, but we are in an NIL world where this can happen.
No, I'm not saying you're trying to be dramatic. Yeah. I think that this situation is dramatic. Yeah. I think that this very well could be one of those things where the NCAA now finds another level of assault on what they have held true and dear. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, I don't say that with any level of, I don't know, love for the NCAA, because what they have done, in my personal opinion, has been kind of repugnant in trying to continue to keep this in the way that it has been. But now you're seeing assaults from various different platforms, and this could be another one that kind of wildly changes the aspect of what's happening.
That's what I'm saying.
Diego Pavia at SEC Media Days, that's one of the things I wanted to talk about. He is the quarterback at Vanderbilt. He previously played at New Mexico State, before transferring to Vandy and then beating Alabama last year. Shout out to the man, Diego Pavia. He is, you know, really advocating hugely for, sorry, that don't do anything with that. It just came out. He's advocating hugely for the possibility of changing eligibility rules that takes away all junior college away from that, and then maybe standardizing it to maybe like 5 years, no junior college, none of that, like to continue to up eligibility. Would this upend that almost entirely if this is basically, hey, no longer are you able to, or how far can you push the bounds of amateurism if Shamar Stewart wins some level of court case that might generate from this?
Right. No, I think that's why I said it's potentially groundbreaking. And it's also this. Forget about the nature of the relationship and professionalism and going back to college and forgetting the draft. At minimum, I think this is the first of many sort of leverage moments that a player can have with a team. You know, like at minimum, he's going to get what he wants in this contract with the Bengals because he has the leverage now to say, hey, I don't need the money. I can go back to college. And he might even have a ruling at some point that backs him up on that. So at minimum, I think a lot of NFL players that are maybe wanting something in their contract, maybe not happy with where they got drafted, they're going to have the leverage to get what they want.
All right. At the risk of putting you in a place that is deeply unfair, as I love doing to people on the radio, does this feel like a end game good thing? And of course, you don't have a crystal ball, so I'm not expecting you to know 100%. But the thoughts that I start having is, if you change this, I think players have even more leverage, even as we're talking about making money in college, to possibly stay and not be rushed to college. In some instances, obviously now to the NFL rather. Yeah. You know, you had to play 3 years, but does this then give guys more opportunity to possibly, you know, hold out from that particular end game, or is the nature of football such that you got to try and jump whenever you can?
Yeah, the first thing I thought about was the quarterbacks.
Arch Manning.
So if it's like a quarterback that's like an Arch Manning, and he don't want to go to whatever, let's say the Browns got the number one overall pick, he don't want to go there.
I'll go back to
Texas.
Yeah, and that's where I think it's
even
most
if
important.
They do draft me and go through all this stuff or something crazy happen like that.
Mm-hmm.
I go back to college.
Arch can make $10 million at the blink of an eye next year. If he, let's say he wins the Heisman, goes number one, doesn't want to go there. Hey, cool. I'm going back to Texas.
Mm-hmm. I teased this and I forgot to mention it. Micah Parsons, along with your quarterback of the Houston Texans, CJ Stroud, apparently are in tandem endorsing a product called Jams. which is...
Are you going to make me be a bad guy here?
Yes, I am. Yeah. Which is supposedly like Uncrustables, but better. In theory, to give the elevator pitch that I imagine Jams does not want, because I don't think that they necessarily want you to talk about what I imagine is a competitor now. But it's you know, PB&J that you can get on the go, but supposedly with better better products or better
10 grams of protein.
Yeah, protein and all that. Which I think, you know, general. Hey, you're dealing with peanut butter. Protein's gonna be in there.
It's gonna be in there.
But you in?
Okay.
Figgy, so, before he goes, because he's got a lot. Figgy, you in?
Sure, I'll try.
I'll
try it.
Yeah. I think it's awesome. There is a butt coming. I think it's awesome. Protein PB&J is what they're calling it. It's called Jams. It comes in a little box. It doesn't have a crust, and it has peanut butter and jellies in it. What does that sound like to you?
Sounds like the free market. Sounds like competition, baby. Competition.
It's McDowell's, man. It's an Uncrustable. I hope you have all the success in the world. I hope you make a gajillion dollars, but let's just be honest here.
No, of course.
It ain't going to top the Crustables.
This is Uncrustables. They're just calling it Jams.
I do wonder, though, does this have an opportunity? I know that they're already paying for NFL endorsement, right? Obviously, as evidenced by CJ and Micah Parsons. But does this have an opportunity to maybe latch on in the professional space? Because one that I always find really interesting is your favorite athlete, your favorite athlete's favorite athlete. Love them some PB&J. Quick way to get in some protein. They love it as a, you know, easy snack. And I've always been fascinated that, like, Uncrustables had not found some way in. But if you have something that is, in theory, better, like, better ingredients.
See, I think it is already finding its way in. I've said on this show, I think Uncrustables is the best snack to take when you go golf. I've seen professional golfers eat Uncrustables on the golf course.
Is this a commercial?
Or Jams. Either way.
I just want to make sure.
I think a lot of high schoolers and teams use these, whether it's Uncrustables or now Jams. Already, I think it is going to get into that space. I think that's why he and Micah got into this. I do wish him all the luck in the world, and I'm just going to be fair. As much as I say it is Uncrustable, let's not get that confused. There's space for it. Coke had Pepsi, you know, like the if you have a successful product, another product similar but different is going to come in.
And all you need is an NFL player to actually be the first person to say, hey, I eat this.
Yeah.
I like this.
Well, and you got two right there that are big time.
I say all that. I make all my PB&J by hand. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Yeah. Coming up next, I've been doing my rewatch of the 2024 Texans season. We come to week 8 versus the Indianapolis Colts. Let's revisit that next.